Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. And I'm Julie.
Hi, Julie. Guess
You're
who
Christine.
I am.
You're Christine.
I'm Christine Marie.
And today
Teresa.
We're going to really be like, professional today.
Okay.
You know, here we are. We're Christine Marie and Julie. We're certified life coaches. You're a psychotherapist. Decades of training. I'm a teacher, getting my master's in instructional design. And here we are on a Sunday night, just extracting the nuggets from life.
Ooh, again with the extraction process.
You know, Tim Ferriss calls himself like he deconstructs the geniuses and
yes.
people.
He's a deconstructionist.
Yeah, we're an extractor.
Okay, we're the extractionists.
Yes.
Is that kind of like the Terminator? I don't know.
Yes. Please don't terminate me. I'm willing to be extractive, not terminate. Extraction sounds such a manly word, doesn't it?
I always love it, too, like when you're watching the Food Channel, and they'll say, what did you make today? Well, I made a deconstructed hot fudge sundae.
Right.
And that usually means they threw a thing of ice cream in a bowl.
Yes.
And like with a little container on the side of hot fudge, and maybe another little thing of whipped cream and
right.
little few nuts on the side. I don't know. Maybe a cherry someplace.
Yeah.
You just take everything
and deconstruct it.
You move it away from each other.
And then sometimes the judges go, well, I like what you're going for, except that I kind of would have minded it being more constructive.
I'd like it to have been a sundae. I just wanted a high five sundae.
What I find so interesting about those shows is that they judge it by a perfect bite. And that's how I eat my food.
Oh, that's true.
You know, like sometimes they go, well, I had way too much spinach and I ran out of the other stuff to give me that bite.
You are a biter, though. I mean,
I'd like to have a little piece of everything
at one
time.
You want everything all mixed up.
I do, because then it's like a perfect bite. Mm. And I'm not like Monk, you know. I mean, Monk from the really, you know, the San Francisco detective Monk, mm-hmm. Adrian Monk. You know, he likes his food separate.
Real separate.
And not touching.
Right.
And sometimes inappropriate, like, you know, 12 beans, 12 peas, you know, in numbers.
Yeah.
No, I'm not like that at all. I want mixture together.
You want inappropriate touching.
Sometimes appropriate and inappropriate touching is appropriate.
That's right. That's right.
I'm all for that.
I know. So, I mean, sometimes I'll look at your thing and it kind of looks like vomit.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That like we had chili.
Yeah.
And you took cornbread and you mixed it up in the chili and you took some
sour cream
mm-hmm. and you mixed it up and it just kind of looked like kind of like a bowel movement.
What, say that again? Excuse me? Excuse me?
And I'm like, okay, that's how she likes it, that inappropriate touching thing, you know.
That's how I roll, baby. That's how I roll.
So yeah. Tell us what we're going to be talking about on this Super Bowl Sunday. And we're not going to give away who won.
I'm guessing you're listening to us on a podcast rather than on a Super Bowl Sunday night because you're going to be watching the game possibly. Or you'd be like, the last thing I'm going to do is watch that Super Bowl game.
I'd rather watch listen to Life with the Girlfriends.
Exactly.
Maybe you could do both.
You could, because it's a visual game.
That's right.
And then just turn us up, you know, no problem there. But we're going to talk about some fun stuff. It's going to be a really great show. Great show today.
Oh, I love it when you prophesy.
We're going to talk a little bit about Warren Buffett, what we can extract from him.
Oh, the great
and
Warren Buffett.
And how life... I saw his documentary. I'm not sure I talked about this last week or not, but I saw his documentary, Being Warren Buffett or Growing Up Warren Buffett. I think mm-hmm. it being Warren Buffett. And I didn't realize that I literally only saw half the performance.
Literally?
Literally.
Just half.
Literally.
And so you've got more to add.
I have a more rounded version of his life, which is more appropriate. I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about the Trump Schwarzenegger, President Trump, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's
and Governor Schwarzenegger.
Yes, their Twitter feud continues.
Yes,
and now they're bringing in Jesus involved. Now Jesus is involved in this whole feud.
No way.
Well, you know,
whose side is Jesus on?
Yeah, I think Jesus is like Switzerland.
Ah,
I see him being like Switzerland.
Kind of net neutrality. Neutral.
He doesn't really give it. He doesn't have a pony in the race in some sense, mm-hmm. as long as you like, hey, as long as you believe I died for your sins, I forgive, do your best, coming up with me. You're going to hang out with me, all right? Yeah.
I don't care what your tweeters say.
The tweets, you know, it's a moment of weakness. and then I've got a couple of dadisms or normisms I want to talk about today.
Daddy-o-isms, normano-isms.
Yeah. And then I've got an Elliot's Corner story.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we're going to do our movie TV reviews because
we went from old movies,
yes,
kind of movies that have already been on DVD and things like that.
Yeah.
And now we're doing Netflix.
And somehow, TV. Well, somehow we just evolved to we're watching Netflix now.
Yes, exactly.
And not during the week.
No.
But instead of getting a movie on a Saturday night, you've decided, well, let's get that crazy Netflix thing.
What is that thing?
Now, we used to have it way back in the day.
Yeah.
And we would be so excited to get these DVDs in the mail. And then turn them back. We were like, this is so magical. Oh, my God, that's so great.
You open your mailbox and you get DVDs.
And so you're like,
they were bright red in the thing. It was so great.
And I have to say, if it wasn't so easy with Dish to have Netflix, because they have an app. Mm-hmm. To get Netflix and just go right on. You can watch it on your big screen. Yay.
That's true.
It's a whole new ball game. And when somebody said this is a golden age of television, I'm like, really? And I'm like, oh, yeah.
No. When Ed Sullivan was on, that was the golden age.
That was the golden age of television.
Carol Burnett, that was the golden age. Because Murder, She Wrote, that was the No.
No, really, now.
Now.
Because you can watch whatever you want, whenever you want,
yeah,
wherever you want. Ever you want, when.
And where.
Where.
Is there
and how.
Is there a whoever? Or a
whoever. What? Whoever you want to watch it with. How you want to watch it. If you want to watch it buck naked.
Yeah.
Upside down. Working out. You go for it.
That's right. With one of those ball gags in your mouth.
Yeah.
Sorry. I watched Pulp Fiction last night.
Oh, did you? I'm like, really? Where is this reference coming from? But I have a bone to pick with you from last night. If I can say that now, I don't know. But
first, you're extracting my nuggets, and now you're picking my bones.
Yes, and here's a cleansing tidbit.
Okay,
if you grind up chicken bones in your garbage disposal, that helps to keep it clean. Just to let you know.
You know what? I did hear that.
I
did hear that.
That wasn't even a new tidbit for you.
That wasn't new to me.
I found it fascinating. I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
But they had to be small chicken bones.
Yeah, not
big ones. But that's what I'm saying. Like, what do you do with the big chicken bones? Oh, the small ones we keep. That goes down the garbage list. Everything else gets separated out. That's kind of what I mean, to me, it's kind of like garbage disposal, smart disposal. It's like, I'm like, if I can't throw it all down, I'm just throwing it all away.
Oh, there you go. I understand that completely.
Thank you.
I understand completely.
Thank you.
So I don't know what I'm talking about, but anyway.
I
had a bone to pick with you.
Yeah, bone
about
to
last
pick
night.
With
but
me.
Talking getting back to Netflix, we're going to talk about during our movie review. We might have talked about Stranger Things last week. I can't remember.
We did.
So this week we're going to talk about two things.
Yes.
The other guys, Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
And
my Marky Mark dude.
And we're going to
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. And the Netflix original series,
Santa Clarita Diet.
Drew
Barrymore,
Tim Olyphant. Yeah, but that's gonna be fun. We're kind of like right now being like extra on TV. We're giving you clues that's coming up for the show.
we give them clues and we talk about it, and then we
a roundup. The top five.
We have
the
roundup of what we talked about.
Yeah.
What? Wait, what? How do you do
that?
So,
girlfriend, getting back to why I'm peeved at you,
okay.
If I can be so blunt.
Okay.
So Doug
what
came over last night.
What dastardly thing did I do?
Yeah, well, you Bruce blocked me, to be honest with you.
Oh, my God.
You Bruce blocked me. I was not happy with you. So Doug comes over last night, and I made homemade chili, which I hadn't made in a long time.
Right.
Which I get to then make my beautiful bowl of chili, cornbread, sour cream, cheese, honey.
The whole thing.
And mix it together so I have perfect bites.
It was so good.
That makes it look like doo-doo for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fine. You didn't have to have my way.
No.
And so,
you're like Trump. You did it your way.
I didn't want to go over to Doug's last night. I wanted to come over to my house, and which kind of puts a crimp in your guys' night.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
And so, you know, we're watching basically crap on TV. There's nothing good. I didn't want to go to Netflix. I didn't want to get really involved. I had studying to do, you know,
right.
Just stuff.
Right.
And then Doug leaves, and I come in, and you guys are laughing off and on, and you're having a good time. I'm hearing you're having a good time.
Right, yeah.
I come in, I go, what you guys watch tonight? Oh, Julie, we watched this fabulous hour on Access TV on Bruce Springsteen, and he was live in Spain. It was like the best hour of TV the whole time. I can't imagine. I'm like, why didn't you tell me about it? Oh, well, we asked you what you were watching, and I think you said you were watching. I go, what did I say I was watching? I think you said you were watching the Weather Channel about tornado and vortexes.
Yeah, yes, exactly right.
And I said, really?
Well, we didn't want to interrupt that.
I go, really? And so I am just like, oh, oh. I go, I would have told you, hey, guess what, guys? I'm great on TV. But no, you guys decided to just have your door open. And us and your laughter and singing ruminate through the whole house. Mm-hmm. And I go, hey, what you guys going on? Oh, nothing, nothing. And afterwards, I said, oh, the most wonderful hour of TV. And then I find out you're listening to Bruce Springsteen.
It was so awesome.
Why? Tell me about it, girlfriend.
Well, it was just that we just happened on it. You know, it's on Access TV. And Bruce was in Spain. And he actually Barcelona. And the crowd was amazing. I mean, you know, like some bigger than Super Bowl crowds, I think. It was just this huge crowd.
Right.
And I looked and it was 2017, so it must have been filmed in like 2016 or something. Uh-huh. But he had the Clarence Clemens there, the Steve Van Zandt.
Right.
His wife, I think she's still his wife.
Yeah.
And is it the drummer? What is his name?
Weinstein or Weinstein?
Weinstein.
Or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was the whole
Max?
Thing. Yeah, absolutely. And what I loved about it is that this crowd knew his songs.
Yeah.
And he started singing Born in the USA, and they were just like, you know, arms up in the air singing Born in the USA. And I love the fact that this crowd knew the words to every one of his songs.
Yeah.
And it just pleased me to see them. And they knew about, you know, because in Born in the USA, it's about going to Vietnam or getting, you know, when you're born, you have to go fight in the wars or
right.
either that or work in a refinery.
Right.
It's so amazing that these Brazilian kids are knowing the words, and then
hey, Brazilian or Spanish? Spain.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
Spaniards.
Barcelonian. I guess. I don't know. Yeah, Brazil, Spain. I guess I'm showing my, you know how like if you're
geography, ignorance.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you just like wanted to say the word Brazilian. I know that because you just had one. You had one done the other day. You had a Brazilian wax, a Brazilian blowout. Hey, you know, the Brazilians have a thing about hair.
I got it. I love those Brazilians. So they and it was just like a heartwarming to see this huge crowd,
right?
Just singing Born in the USA.
Right.
And putting their arms up. And Bruce looked awesome.
Did he?
He's I don't know what he does, but he's not aging. You know, he just looked awesome.
Well, that's nice because sometimes I was going through the channels and I saw this one show. I was on YouTube and I was going through, and I've been going through this time. I saw on the Kennedy special way back when.
Right.
I saw
the Kennedy Honor or something like that.
Yes. Who sings Down on Main Street? I love that guy. He goes, Down on Main Street.
Is it, it starts with a B, right?
That's what I think it starts with, too. Bob Seger.
Bob Seger, yeah.
And I love him. But I saw him, and he had this great head of hair, but it was all white.
Yeah.
And so I was feeling really that kind of genre, and I was on YouTube looking, and they gave me a suggestion of of a video came up, and it was Christopher Cross.
Ah, like if you like this,
if
you'll
like this,
love this.
Yeah, and like Christopher Cross, and I'm like, oh, awesome. And I'm playing it, and it says Christopher Cross and Michael McDonald. I'm like, oh my God, that's cool. I love Michael McDonald.
Oh my God.
And because it just talks like this, right?
What's that song name?
I don't know. I mean, they're all in my head.
Yeah.
But he's just like playing it. So I'm listening to Christopher Cross, and he goes, and it's kind of cool. And I can't think of the song now.
Even not on the long way to go.
Oh, yeah. It goes
like that.
Goes, you know, and I've got such a long way to go.
Such a long way to go.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
I'll do the Michael McDonald.
Yeah, McDonald
part.
Comes out and he's all white haired, and then he's just white haired, and he goes, "Such a long way to go." And I thought, "Oh my God, this is awesome!" And then here take it to the motor of Mexico, because I go like the wind, ride like the wind,
ride like the wind.
I'm not really sure what that song's about.
No,
but you're riding like the wind. Mm-hmm. To Mexico,
right?
To be free again, and got such a long way to go. But it's so funny because
you can't listen to the words.
You do,
because like Bruce, it's always about working for the refinery,
yeah,
and going down to the river with Mary,
I know.
And and then going back on the back of a motorcycle down this road where a lot of your classmates died.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
They've been drinking, and then they've been speeding.
Well, it's so funny because I had
then
watched...
Then you got to work at the refinery.
You got to work at the refinery. And his mind, if you're lucky, you get to work at the refinery. Put your 30 years in before it closes down, you get like a minimal pension,
Yeah.
Your hands can barely move.
You don't even get a watch.
No. And it's so funny because I was watching this show about Warren Buffett, uh-huh. and he talks about how he won the ovarian lottery. That's what he called it.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, or the ovary lottery. I don't know. But it was some kind of, he goes, I had a 40-in-1 chance of being born in America, and I got that. And I had an 80-in-1 chance of being born a man in America.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, and I just, growing up, I just felt like, well, it doesn't seem right that I would think of myself better or superior to anybody else just because I won the ovary lottery of
right.
being a man, born in America. And if you listen to his story, he's like, man, you can do anything. And listen to Bruce's story, being born a man in America means you're working in the oil fields.
Are you going to Nam?
Going to Nam.
You're going to Nam, where a lot of your other brothers didn't make it out.
Yeah.
There was one line in there, like his brother, and I know I just meant brother in arms, I guess, fell in love in Saigon, and there's a picture of him holding the woman he loved in his arms, and then the next day he's gone.
He's gone.
But that's because you were born in the USA.
And then it was more like this, wink, wink, he was gone. I mean, he just got back on the next plane out of there because she was pregnant, knocked up with his baby. And he was like, I don't think so.
I had when I was a young therapist working in the mental health center, That's a song.
I was born working in a young therapist.
Working in the mental health center. And I had a guy who had been to Vietnam and he had his penis, junk, whatever you want to call it, shredded. He said that he had hired a kind of a local Miss Saigon prostitute,
mm-hmm.
and she had put a broken Coke bottle up her, and that's how she worked for the other side.
Ooh,
yeah,
that would seem to be only happen like work once, like I'm thinking that
that had to hurt.
Well, but no, but I think she couldn't be known for that and then be
gotcha.
Like how many soldiers had gone to her?
Yeah.
And oh,
and how many Coke bottles?
How many Coke bottles? And then I just can't imagine. So that's really what happened to him.
That really what happened.
So that you're trying to tell me that
he got shredded?
No, I know that she put a broken Coke bottle up her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that placed correctly, the bottom, the bottom of the Coke bottle.
But I mean, once it starts hurting a little bit, I think you wouldn't keep knocking it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, I think when a guy goes, oh, wait, that hurt a little bit. What's down there?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, wait, well, you know what? I'm still horny if I keep trying.
I'm going to keep, oops, maybe I just
maybe
like.
Maybe it's just, haven't done this in a while. I don't really remember how it feels.
Yeah. That's so sensitive.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of lubrication going on down there. Like, it's blood. It's blood. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Solvent green is people. No,
I'm
slowly,
just thinking
slowly green is
maybe
people.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't a true story, or maybe it wasn't.
It could just be a rumor.
Yeah, just a rumor.
Gotcha.
I'm asking you to put your microphone. If you're wondering why I'm doing this with my microphone,
like you're giving me this dirty sign.
Yes, I just
you're like moving back and
you're
forth.
You keep putting
your
the microphone closer and closer to your mouth.
Sorry. I didn't know what you were doing. It looked like you were eating your microphone.
Well, I wasn't. I was giving you the sign, like, hey, girl.
You got to do better than that.
I'll just tell you, because obviously my signs aren't good enough for you.
Like, she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, Jules.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah, so I got to tell you something about dad real quick. And I do want to talk about Warren Buffett.
Yeah, but you were you said there were some dadisms or Romano-isms. Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, dad and I were all together kind of, and I was talking to dad, and he was talking, I was telling him like all these songs I was hearing on YouTube, and he was wanting to look up stuff too. And he goes, wow, you know, just out of Clear Blue Sky, he loves Adele right now. He's just totally in love with Adele.
He's like, Adele is Adele.
I understand why. She looks a little bit like you.
She does?
She kind of has that red, kind of blondish red hair.
Cool. Okay.
And cool. You know, she kind of has that really pretty face. I mean, I can see, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on that, but I think she looks like you.
That's on.
You'll take it, right?
I'll take it.
And
I'll take your money.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, so dad was like, oh, you just got to hand it to Adele because I don't know anybody who has all the hits that she has now. I mean, you think back and like nobody has as many hits as Adele has. And I'm like, he goes, you know, like, he goes, like, even like, he mentioned Christopher Cross. Like, Christopher Cross, I think he's had one hit.
He's like a one-hit wonder.
You know, and like,
and he goes, Michael, who's that
like,
other guy?
Like, Journey. I don't think they've had more than one hit. I'm like, oh, okay.
Really? We're just kind of letting him go.
And then all of a sudden he goes, and like, you know, Julie, like, you know, like that guy,
Bon Jovi character.
John Bon Jovi?
Yeah.
I go, Bon Jovi, the
one
band?
One hit wonder?
They go, yeah, they have like literally one hit. I go, what was that hit? He goes, I don't even know what the hit is, but I think they only had one. I go, you know what, Father?
I let you go this far.
I've let you go. I've let you string this thing out as far as I can let you do it. I mean, because now I've just have to tell you.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi has had a whole lot of hits. Slippery When Wet, I think every song on that album was a hit when it came out in the 80s, late 80s, 86, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I had to prove him wrong. I'm like, okay, let's just name all these hits, you know. You know, Living on a Prayer. You know, You Give Love a Bad Name.
You Give Love a Bad Name.
You know, I'd Die For You. And then also, too, which I think is also a song. I don't think I'm thinking it right. I Die For You. That's a song on the album, but I think I was singing it like Brian Adams' song.
Oh,
but,
yeah, yeah.
You know, but like, yeah, Wanted, Dead or Alive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, literally every song on that album was a hit.
And he's like, you know that John Bond.
John Bon Jovi. Just didn't have any hits.
No, I mean, maybe one.
Yeah.
And then he talks about that group. Was it L.A. Guns? No. Wait, it was Guns N' Roses.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I heard, you know, they used to do that song Paradise City.
Yeah.
He said, but I did hear a country version of it.
I just want to say thank God right now to Dad who's listening to NPR on the road or doing whatever, because he has learned to speak in such a way. It's like Prairie Home Companion.
Yes, that's how he does it.
You know, I was listening to this station and they were, and then, you know, this Paradise City comes up.
You know
Guns
that
Roses.
Paradise City at Guns yes. N' Roses?
And it was like a country version. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think it would, you know, work, but it does. And you go, in your fast way, like, really, Norm, it worked. I just cannot believe it.
I can't. I said, really, Norm, Paradise City?
Yeah, Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses, Paradise City, done country. And then you
cock-blocked
me.
Yeah, because what you always hate, because you think I take dad's side and everything.
You do take dad's side and everything.
I don't. I just think in a battle of words, you always have the upper hand.
With Normano.
Yeah,
maybe.
And so I feel like I have to, maybe I feel like I have to.
Yeah. Go on his side.
Make the
bit.
Odds a little more even.
Right.
Because listen, you win against me too, but I feel like me and dad against you, maybe it's an equal chance.
Maybe.
I don't know. So then you go, oh, really, Julie, you think Guns N' Roses could do? I mean, Paradise says it could be a country song. And I said, yes.
And I said, prove it.
And I said, no problem. And in my mind, I said, no problem, bitch.
Because that's how you talk to us. You say everything, and then there's always that silent pause that means bitches.
Yeah. That's what you think it means. Yeah. I don't really believe that. Maybe it is. But maybe.
Go, Julie, when's the chili going to be done? Oh, and in 9 minutes. Bitch. That's the implied.
That's the implied. In nine minutes, mother. Bitch.
Bitch.
When I get what I have talking. It done. When the chili's done, it'll
that's
be
right.
done.
Right.
So then I go, okay, so here is my version.
So we set the, we laid the gauntlet down
yes.
for Julie.
And here is my version of Paradise City. Country style.
Country style.
And I mean twangy, full-blown banjo country style.
Okay.
Ready?
And this is what mm-hmm. I've been waiting for.
Yeah. Take me down to the paradise city where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. Oh, won't you please take me down? Boom.
Boom. Microphone drop.
Mic drop.
Brain exploded.
I think that song is perfect for a good old-fashioned banjo off.
That's
banjo
right.
off.
You showed us.
Exactly. Exactly. So can I please go back to my Warren Buffett story?
Of course.
I know. This has been all around the block, but I think I talked about Warren Buffett last week and how impressed I was. And he came on HBO one night. It was like at 10 o'clock it started or 9 o'clock. And literally I had fallen asleep and I thought I saw most of it. And then the last minute I saw. But I realized that I only saw like the first 35, 40 minutes because... And the first part was this love story, you know, and how he made his billions. And the second part, I realized that he has had this really non-traditional love story that works for him.
Right.
So his wife was named Susie.
The love of his life.
The love of his life, named Susie.
Mother of his children.
Yep, they had three children. And, you know, she took care of him really well.
Right.
And he needed to be taken care of.
And we're saying that because in some way, he's business savant.
Yes.
I know Greg did last week. We were talking, and he was talking about Tom Brady being just a football savant.
Like everything.
Because you're only good in one thing.
Yes.
And then and everything else, like Warren Buffett was socially awkward.
Right.
Couldn't really do anything. I mean, he would leave his house for the day with $2.31, which is how much his McDonald's meal.
Right. He'd go have breakfast on the road every morning at McDonald's.
Right.
And depending on how much money his wife gave him, whether it was like $2.91, $3.13, or $3.39 was what he would get for the day.
Yes.
And it was interesting because his daughter talks about how if you want to talk to my dad, you'd have to let him know that I need a five or 10 minutes with you, or his brain would be somewhere else.
Right.
You had to talk to my dad in sound bites.
Right.
Because
he
was physically home, but he wasn't present in the home.
Right.
He was always reading about businesses
or thinking.
Yeah. He loved thinking. And I learned in my master's program the art of thinking is metacognition, how to think about things better or whatever. Whatever.
It's so meta, Julie.
Yeah, so meta. and so there is this. So it's 1977, and our one story that Susie talks about his wife. He says, "Here is what truly Warren Buffett is. I was sick one time, really sick. I couldn't get out of bed. And I was throwing up, and I couldn't get out of bed to go to the bathroom to throw up. And I said, Warren, please get me a bowl from downstairs in the bathroom or kitchen, or like a pot, please." And I hear him, and he's been gone like 2 or 3 minutes. And I hear these clanging of the pots, and he comes back with a calendar.
A calendar?
She goes, Warren,
seriously,
Warren, I'm going to throw up in the calendar, and
that
it's going to come
like
out this
Normano would do.
Out of the side. And he goes, oh, right, of course. I'm so sorry. He runs back downstairs, and do you know what he brings up then? A baking sheet to put the calendar on.
Oh my God.
And then he goes,
oh my God.
She goes, listen, I have to take responsibility for this. I don't think he knew how to turn a light switch on mm-hmm. in our home. Mm-hmm. I took care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And about 1977, he had made enough money. I mean, he wasn't a billionaire at this point,
mm-hmm.
but he had millions. And his wife left. His wife took off to San Francisco in 1977.
And we did not know this part of the story.
I know. I was shocked, like, what? 1977? And his daughter comes back home from wherever she was at. Totally. And she goes, initially, I was so mad at my mom because I thought to myself, Dad's not going to be able to function without you. You
he
just
doesn't
left
do
him.
Anything.
Yeah. And so, but here is, you know, the kids grew to understand why she left, because she needed to go. She mm-hmm. was dying in Nebraska, in Omaha, where he was just thriving.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And she needed to go to San Francisco, and that was a total reflection of who she was
right.
at that time.
At that time. And she was socially minded, and,
yeah.
you know, and she realized that the money that he was producing allowed them to do this, mm-hmm. to live separate lives. Mm-hmm. And her daughter says, Susie and my dad lived parallel lives.
Right.
Parallel lives. And so we're talking, we're listening to Susie in this, you know, in this documentary, and she's talking, and she passed away in 2004. Mm-hmm. So it must have been an older interview, obviously, because she's not with us. But she said, as soon as I left, I called my friend Astrid, I think her name was, or mm-hmm. Astrid. Very funny name. And she says, Astrid, I need you to do me a favor and go over to my house and take care of Warren for me. And she's like, okay. Now, we never, Astrid was not interviewed at all in this documentary. Mm. But from that point on, literally, it comes across that he had sister wives.
Right.
He had his wife in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and he had his girlfriend living with him. I think he lived with her. I'm sure she did. Mm-hmm. In Omaha.
Right.
And
she took care of him.
And the daughter goes, it must have come across strange, but to us it was okay because my mom and Astrid got along wonderfully.
They were best friends.
They were great friends. Yeah. I don't know if they're best friends, mm-hmm. but they were good friends. And because I'm just thinking, I don't know if I let one of my best friends screw my husband. I don't know.
Was she screwing him?
I have no idea, though. I don't really know for sure.
Yeah. She was just taking care of him.
She was just taking care of him.
It's kind of like how we take care of Dad, Normano.
Okay, yes.
Except there's no millions.
Right.
Or billions.
Well, that's true. Because I think, and I go, that's kind of, but it was kind of sweet. I mean, I don't know the particulars, like I know she took care of him, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. But he literally had his wife in San Francisco that he would go visit.
Yeah.
And they would do things together.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't come back to Omaha. Mm-hmm. And he had his wife or woman.
Sister wife
in Omaha that mm-hmm. took care of him. Mm-hmm. And now he married Astrid like 2 years after Susie died.
Right.
And, you know, and I just thought this was fascinating to me.
Yeah, it worked.
It worked. And it was I mean, he just talks about how Susie was the love of his life. And I just go, I appreciate this woman, Astrid, for the first thing. You know, but yes. It has to be because the money, part of it. I mean, like, they all recognized that this man was a genius.
Right.
That in some ways,
right.
I was put on this planet to take care of him mm-hmm. in this
so
way.
So that he could do this work.
So he can do this work, whatever that meant.
Right.
And so,
I mean, there isn't, like, you know, like the real TV show Sister Wives or
yeah.
whatever. I mean, that guy, Cody, or whatever yeah. his name is, I mean, he's no Warren Buffett.
Okay, time out.
Okay.
You know what that guy's name is? Cody?
I don't know. Is it Cody?
Yes, you watch it. Don't lie. I don't know what that guy's name is. I think it's Cody. Yeah, I just pulled that name out of the hat. Yeah, it's Cody.
But he's no Warren Buffett, is what I'm trying to say. And because you get a sense that, okay, you're doing this for humanity.
Right,
you know,
for
we're
the
taking
bigger
care
purpose.
Of, yeah, Warren's got these huge funds, and he's buying these companies and all this stuff.
Right.
And you go, okay, somebody needs to give him his $3.02
right.
for his McDonald's in the morning.
And
you
get the impression that he's not, he doesn't have, quote-unquote, hussies on the side.
No.
You know? Yeah. I don't think that wasn't part of the documentary.
That was part of the documentary, that he is not in love with money.
No,
you know
right.
how, like, some people, like, oh, I got to have the gold-plated toilet seat, or,
right.
you know, we got to have
these.
He's not
in love with that.
No, this is not who he is.
Mm-mm.
I mean, he really is about how to make money in business.
Right. And what he does is he's a savant about acquiring businesses.
Right.
He doesn't start them.
No.
He
had two philosophies.
Right.
One was
when he first started off, he called it the cigar butt philosophy. What it was is that he would buy a company that had one good puff left in it. And so he would buy fair companies at wonderful prices. And then he meets through, you know, some brilliant people along the way, and it switches.
And doesn't he meet, like, Gates?
Yeah, but this is not
about
this time.
Okay.
And I think his name, he's got a friend named Charlie. Now, I don't know if Charlie influenced him in this area, but he went from buying fair companies at wonderful prices to buying
wonderful
companies at fair prices
right.
and just holding them.
Right.
And that was his goal.
Yeah.
And
but see, he worked up to that you can do that.
You can do it. It took
right.
him some time.
Yeah.
And it took him till 1986, and he was worth $1.5 billion.
Right.
this is how crazy the world has gotten.
Right.
So it took him all that time before that. I mean, so that was 30 years ago? No, 20 years ago. 30 years ago. So 30 years ago is 1.86, but then he's been doing this for 60 years. So it took him 30 years to get to 1.6 billion. Mm-hmm. And then it took him the next 30 years to get to 66 billion.
Right.
I mean, that's how crazy the world has gotten at the high ends.
And and we don't even understand what that kind of money even equals.
No, and what it equals for him is this. He said the key is compounding interest. That's the key to everything, compounding interest. And he says, I would get in trouble with my wife because she thought I wasn't giving enough money away in the beginning. But I realized that if I gave money away now, I would have less to give away mm-hmm. in the future because the
he
money
understood
I would give
away, like such basic things like compounding interest and this idea of time.
Yes. Time is the biggest equalizer, and time is the biggest thing for money. You need time for money to grow.
Right.
And get to that point where it's just growing like crazy. And he also, and it was interesting because I was listening to Tim Ferriss today, and they were talking a little bit about Warren Buffett.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, and because one of the guys talks to Warren Buffett, or goes out to him with lunch. I can't remember the guy's name now that Tim Ferriss was interviewing. And he says, Warren Buffett is so emotionally stable, and that when stuff is going bad in the economy, he gets greedy. And when people are greedy, I get quiet.
Right.
I get afraid.
Right.
But when people are afraid, I get greedy.
Wow.
Because that's when I know I can pick up businesses, you know, good, wonderful businesses at great prices.
And I can see that because he's at that point where he can. But little people, you can't take risks. Like we were going through McDonald's.
Right.
And there was Norm and I were, and there was a sign, a billboard, and it said, come play our slots. We guarantee 95% payout.
Right, right.
So that led us with a big discussion about, well, that 5% goes to the house.
Yeah.
And then we realized that ultimately the house always wins.
The house always wins.
And you really can't afford to take, if you're a little guy, you can't afford to even take that kind of risk.
Right. Well, I think, though, here's the point for the little guy, quote-unquote the little guy.
And no, that well, when then Norm said to me at the very end of this discussion, he goes, I guess it really matters if you think that you're lucky. And I went, well, I don't understand. You got to think that you're 5% luckier than the rest of the dudes out there. I didn't even get that.
Yeah.
We were still talking about that philosophy. Like,
interesting.
Does it make sense to you, though?
Yeah.
It does.
Well, as a gambler's mind, that I'm going to be luckier than anybody else.
That he said, that's what he said. He goes, you have to truly believe that you are 5% luckier than everybody else.
Or you're in the 5% that's going to win.
I didn't even get that.
Yeah.
Because to me, the billboard was about saying that we pay out 95% and 5% goes to the house to pay its bills and stuff.
Right.
Does it still mean that, though?
No. Well, here's what it means. Yes, that's what it kind of means.
Damn.
It means that on average, every dollar that you put in, 95 goes back out to payouts. That's what it means. But what typically happens is that someone goes in, wins $100, and then the rest of the people leave with nothing.
Right.
You know, you don't usually come in with $20 and leave with, you know,
$19.95 or something like that,
right. So that's not what typically happens. Either you win some money or you leave with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how it happens.
Right.
But getting back to Warren Buffett and taking the nugget out of what he says, you know, we believe in compounding interest, even for the little guy, mm-hmm. because over the course of 10, 20, 30 years, you can amass enough money for you. You don't need Warren Buffett's money. We don't need Warren Buffett's money. And I think at this weird, crazy stage of billionaires, of these billionaires who get the money so quickly sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, Warren Buffett has earned it.
You're talking like these startups from San Francisco. Yeah.
And so you get to this wild place where like, oh my God, I'm nothing. I don't have $1 billion anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It is silly. It's ridiculous. It's not even ridiculous money. It means almost nothing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Except that for Warren Buffett, you know, he realized that the more I can put together and have compounding interest on that, even the more I can give away. And so his idea and philosophy was, I'm going to pile a lot of money and then give it to Susie when I die, and then she can give it to whoever she wants to give it to.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, it's ridiculous to give it out now because I'll be able to give less, you know, so much less, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can understand that philosophy. But then he met Bill Gates, you were telling me. I didn't see this, but he...
Right.
And then he decided to give them his money for the Bill and Melissa Gates Foundation.
And when Susie died, he kind of shook up a little bit. He, you know, he went internally a little bit and kind of shook some things out. And he realized, well, what am I saving my money for anymore? It, literally, his whole agenda was to give it to Susie. Mm-hmm. At this point, and he'd give away some money. I mean, mm-hmm. he'd probably given away several billions until that point. But at that moment, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was up and running, and he made this big, huge announcement that he was going to give 80% of his money mm-hmm. to Bill and Melinda Gates. Mm-hmm. Billions, I think. At this sure. point, he's given like $40 billion to them.
Wow.
And he also was going to give, like, out of that money, or, you know, 15% to each one of his kids, or, you know, however that was going to be divided, mm-hmm. because each one of them have their own foundation, mm-hmm. and he's really proud of them and so forth. Mm-hmm. But what I thought was so interesting, he goes, he didn't have to create his own foundation.
No.
He's not going to be known as the, you know...
Warren Buffett
Foundation that goes on for, you know, perpetuity. He goes, I knew people who were doing this so well, and I'm just going to give it to them. Yeah. They know how to do it.
Yeah, because there's no ego involved.
He doesn't think, like, I must be known for this. Yeah. It's not in his wheelhouse. He doesn't care.
It's beautiful.
And I thought, oh my God, I love this.
Yeah.
Because how many times are we being programmed now? Well, we got to have our own foundation. And
yeah.
this is a great way to, make, quote unquote, make money too. Yeah. Because you can get donations and take a little bit off this. Yeah. And
10 cents on every dollar goes to you.
And it just seems crazy. And he realized, if I give my bulk of my money to somebody who has a bulk of money, together our bulks of money can do amazing, amazing things.
Yeah.
And I was touched by it. I was just completely touched by it.
At the very end, too, you were telling us this whole thing and how awesome it was. And Dad said, you know, I've got this great idea.
Oh, uh-huh.
This is Normano. And he said, what about Warren Buffett opening up a business called Buffett's Buffets? Remember that?
Buffett Buffet. Yeah, I remember that for a little bit.
I just picture Norm going up to Warren and saying, you know, I got a great business idea. Yeah. It's going to go like, you know, wildfire. And Warren going, yeah, I never heard that one before.
No, that's totally new, Norm.
That's new, Norm.
And I'm going to put that.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Buffett doesn't start businesses. He'd have to actually acquire Buffett Buffets. And I don't know. You know, here I am. Norm, why don't you change your name to Norm Buffet?
Yeah, exactly.
Buffett, and then have a Buffett Buffet.
Exactly.
And then maybe Warren Buffett will acquire it.
The Buffett Buffets. Yeah, the biggest buffets in the...
Yeah,
country.
I want to move on to movies real quick.
Sure, sure.
But I want to say one thing about, I can't remember.
Oh, no. Was it about Warren?
It was about Warren. And, if it will, you know, I'll say a cliche. If it was meant to be said, I would have remembered it.
You'll think of it.
I'll think of
it. We'll go on to the movies.
Okay. Do you want to talk about real quick about Arnold and Trump? We, you know, we're kind of...
Just the tweet wars and stuff like that. We could.
Yeah.
We could.
We will talk about that in a little bit because, you know, so forth. But I do want to go to our movie review. You ready?
Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies and see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
So here we are at our movie review where we like to not review the current movies. Because what's the point of that?
What's the point? You got Richard Roper. You got the big deal guys.
And also, in some ways, it's good to know what somebody's review is, that the movie's been out for a long time. So there's not this, I'm so disappointed because I heard such good things about it. Yeah. So,
girlfriend. Well, we're just evolving.
Yeah.
And you know, I couldn't sleep one morning this week. And I had the TV on in the background. And it was on USA Channel. And it was... This movie is like 4:30 in the morning. The Other Guys.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I know I've seen this movie before, and I enjoyed it. But I literally laughed out loud several times, and you woke up and Dad was still home. And I'm sitting here. This was, I think, a movie before ahead of its time.
Yes.
Because the humor in it is so great.
Yeah.
And if I could write a movie, this would be the movie I would write because it's so darn good. It's so darn funny. And I'm surprised that Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg have not done more movies together.
I think they've done one more, but oh yeah, the one about the step-husband,
yeah, he's married to
the other
her
family and, or something was, like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but these guys are so good together.
Yeah,
and Mark Wahlberg is a comedic genius.
He really is.
He is.
I thought it was so weird.
He talks like this.
I know. He's crazy. I thought it was so interesting, though, is that in the beginning, one of the beginning scenes, The Rock ends up driving his car or something like that into Trump Towers.
Yes.
And literally, 20 seconds later, they mentioned Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, what the hell? Going on, it's like is this movie foreshadowing?
It's like 1984. I know,
and sometimes I wonder if there's some kind of like analytical formula that scans all movies, and if something comes up in the news, such as Arnold Schwarzenegger, President Trump, and then they're like, oh wait a minute, there's a movie called The Other Guys that have
that algorithm, in it,
you know, because too many times I'm seeing something, I'm like, oh my gosh, that just happened, you know.
I just always feel like, you know, that, you know, the Arnold thing where, you know, Trump saying, oh, poor Arnold, because the Celebrity Apprentice ratings are so bad.
Right.
In my mind, it's like Trump versus Schwarzenegger. It's like Godzilla versus Megatron or something. And there's this
who's
great
Godzilla?
Big battle.
Who's Megatron?
I think Trump is Godzilla and Megatron is Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And they're having this battle in the streets of Japan, and power lines are going down.
Man.
And buildings are being knocked, and that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, though, that if you got a chance to see The Other Guys again, do it. It was ahead of its time.
Now, how many Sherpa hats are you going to give it?
Oh, I'd give it as many Sherpa hats as at least four.
Four. Now, we also got Netflix, and we binged on a little bit of of
Santa Clarita Diet.
What did you think about it?
I'm enjoying it so much. I mean, it's no Stranger Things.
No, and in some ways, thank God, because it's only a half-hour show.
Half-hour show. There's like eight of them or ten of them, and I'm about halfway through. And there's been a plot twist, which I won't give away, because I respect that, you know?
Right, because it is new. I mean, this is the problem, though, with Netflix, and because you can watch what you want to watch when you want to watch it, we're not all watching at the same time, and now you have to guard yourself. Like, you just can't go to the water tank and go, hey, did you see so-and-so last night? Wasn't that wonderful? No, don't tell me. I'm binging on it this weekend, you know?
Don't tell me.
Don't tell me. Don't, what is it called to tell something? Don't,
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, don't give it away.
Warning light, like
spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's right.
Warning. Warning light.
Warning.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah. That's right. So I agree.
Yeah,
I've been watching it
Drew Barrymore is in it.
Oh, I adore. She's cute.
And she's cute. She's got a great sense of humor about herself.
Yep.
In this role, and Timothy Olyphant, who was so hot in Deadwood and even in Justified, is like totally does like a kind of like a Billy Bob Thornton.
I agree.
I mean, he's got
that's the expressions down.
He's a comedian.
He really works on having the most interesting expressions, and his face is just amazing. There is one movie that I fell in love with Timothy Olyphant in. I cannot think of the name of the movie.
Well, that would be helpful, though.
Yes, I'm going to tell you. Maybe you know it. So he's in a Hawaiian vacation with his girlfriend, and he's going to ask her to marry her and so forth. And they get hooked up with this other couple who is Mia. Who's that? She's a Russian actress. I don't know if she does a Resident Evil character.
Yeah.
Her and this other guy, and they're murderers. And they kind of hook onto them, and it just becomes this crazy thing in Hawaii. But it was such an awesome movie.
Oh my God,
just loved
I didn't know
it.
This movie.
Oh, it was a fabulous movie. I'll give that.
You have to look that up.
Yeah, and so forth. But I give that. So I'm giving four stars.
Is it Steve? Somebody?
Yes.
Is it Steve Van Zandt? Or
yeah, he was in it.
Wait, no, really?
Yeah, he was in it.
No, that's not the guy from the Bruce Springsteen band, though.
No.
Steve and Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Resident Evil girl.
Yeah.
In Hawaii. Can you look that up?
Yeah.
As I always call, me and Dad consider Julie Alexa.
Yes.
Alexis, or whatever her name is. We go, Julie, look this up.
Please look this up, Julie. Well, it is funny because I don't know where I became that person to you guys.
Yeah, you did
where,
that.
You know, well, you don't even call me Julie anymore.
We just call you
Alexa. Suri, Alexa, what is this? I'm like, and you just keep saying it until eventually
I get
my phone out or I go to the computer and I look it up and I tell you. And it's just your way of like, I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, come on, please.
That's how we get back at you for you. You're silent, bitches.
Yes, exactly.
Are you looking it up?
I am. I know this is horrible.
It's not coming up.
I'm going to IMB, and it's just like totally.
Steve, is it? Why do I keep wanting to say Van Zandt?
I don't know.
And then Timothy Oliphant, and the
rest. Oh, he was in the Crazies, which I thought was great. The Perfect Getaway. I think that
was
it.
The name of the movie?
Yep. And two pairs of lovers on a Hawaiian vacation discover that psychopaths are stalking and murdering tourists on islands. Yes.
Can you tell me what the other guy's, the Steve guy's name is?
Steve Zahn.
Steve Zahn.
And Millie Jovovich.
Mia.
Yeah.
Or Mila.
Mila, something
Mila
like that.
Mila Jovovich.
Yeah. Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you get that? How many Sherpa hats?
I can give that four because it's beautifully,
Shot.
It's Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And if you want to feel warm in the middle of winter, watch that. And it's got a little crazy to it, which I like. Timothy Oliphant, I think he's the most underrated actor out there. Mm-hmm. He does great work in the most interesting things. And I just love him.
Yeah.
I just love him.
I love him, too.
Yeah, but he's
so skinny
now. I
didn't realize how little he was.
He's just a slight
he's
dude.
He's slight.
Yeah.
I've always pictured him bigger.
His hips are smaller than Drew Barrymore's hips. I mean, just little.
Oh, he is.
He's just little.
He is.
So we're almost out of time, believe it
no,
or not.
No, we cannot
yeah,
be.
Yeah, we've only got about four
this
minutes.
This cannot be. We didn't even get to Elliot's Corner.
I know.
So pillow talk.
I know. So I'm just going to, well, you know why? We're just kind of free it tonight because...
Super Bowl Sunday,
you know, it's everybody's, you know what they said though on the news? They said the day most people take off of work is the Monday after the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yes. And like, I think Heinz Company, Heinz Ketchup, they're just closing down their factory.
They just closed down for the day
for
after
day.
Super Bowl.
Yes.
Because that's kind of like how Michigan closes down for the first day of hunting.
Oh, for sure. I mean, literally.
The whole, literally. The
please.
Whole state.
And dear God, please, heaven. God. I don't know what happened to me that I am choosing to use that as my phrase that pays. Literally. So if I'm going to say, pull out the nuggets of this week, one is, don't think of yourself as a little guy, mama, in investing.
Right.
Think of truly a 10-year plan of compounding interest. What could that look like for you? Anybody out there. And start today. Start this week.
So you start with a penny, and then, you know, the next day you have 2 pennies. The next day you have 4 pennies. But right along around day 15 or 20, it starts getting harder.
Yes, you can't
get
do
your
it.
Pennies.
Yeah, like... I don't have
try that, and that doesn't work, Julie.
No, it doesn't. But that gives you the idea of how compounding interest works.
Yes. and time is not on my side, or maybe
well,
it is.
It is on your side.
Okay.
It is on your side.
Time.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is the difference between him and me or other people, you know. Because I totally believe in investing. I'm not an investing genius, though. I let somebody else do that, right? But it's this idea that... He, in his mind, he wouldn't spend an extra penny anyplace else because that money will eventually make him more money. Mm-hmm. And so where I might spend a dollar at a candy bar or dollar...
Money to be blown.
I think there's money to be blown.
Absolutely.
And his mind...
There's no money to be blown. How dare you?
Now, he doesn't believe in frivolous stuff because it's not how his brain works. Mm-hmm. It's all about competition for him in the sense of... he said in this interview, he goes, or maybe his wife was talking about it, he's so competitive. And that number, that how much he's worth, is a competitive thing with him. And he believes, because what he reads every day, and he reads every day, all the time, information about businesses, he goes, all the information is out there. I'm the only one that does it. Mm-hmm. And that's
now, that I believe.
Yeah.
That I believe.
That's where his mind is.
Yeah. And because all the information is that there's nothing new under the sun. Uh-uh. It's just the way you put
it together.
And because
of truth in lending practice, or truth in, I know there's a new practice out there, that there really is, there's supposed to be an even playing field for everybody.
Right, transparency.
Yes. And so we can do that. We can read. And it's just, it was just fascinating. So I think that is the key. Really engage in compounding interest. And how can you use that in your own life? How can, not just for money, but for a lot of things. What else can you compound?
Over time.
Over time. I think relationships is a good thing about that. I mean, there are, we call that
an emotional deposit.
Yeah.
Ooh, another thing, like an extracting of the nugget.
Yes.
A deposit.
Then you can make withdrawals later in life.
Yes.
The more deposits you put in,
the more withdrawals
you can make later on.
That's right.
You know. And
so you can just leave it at that, girlfriend.
There we go. Mic drop. We want to say thank you for listening to the Life of the Girlfriends. You can definitely go to our website, ChristineMarieAndJulia.com or ConsciousCommunity.com, and check us out on our Facebook page, Conscious Community Challenges. Or Christine, yeah. Marie and Julie, whatever.
That's right.
And girlfriend, and how's the show?
And they want to talk to us at ChristineMarieAndJulia.com.
Talk to us at ChristineMarieAndJulia.com.
That's right.
Mic drop, and how's the show, girlfriend?
Boom. It was great.
It was great.